Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Lifestyles here on WWDB. I'm Dee Lynam, your host for the next 30 minutes. Our sponsor for today's show is American Advertising Services, Philadelphia's longest established advertising and publicity firm. For free information and some creative ideas that can help your company, give Joe Ball a call at 484-562-0063. That number again, 484-562-0063. We welcome to today's show Andy Jasner, the author of a newly released book entitled Phil Jasner on the Case. Andy, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Dee.
Would this be fair to say a labor of love that you
are 4 years worth. Yeah, a true labor of love. I mean, done primarily from the hours of midnight to 6 a.m. because at the time, my third baby, Leah, was still a baby. And there, as you know, there's a lot going on. So I had to do it. I got the ball rolling, had some little pitfalls and issues. And then beginning this year, we went downhill and here we are.
All right. So let's just tell people that Phil Jasner was your dad, who for 38 years was at the Daily News, 29 of those years covering the Philadelphia 76ers, which included their championship run. And actually the run in 01.
Absolutely. Both runs.
Yeah, both runs. So at what point after your dad passed did you decide this is what I want to do and I'll find a way?
Well, the first thing is, this has not been a secret, our third baby is here because I was so distraught. And I went to my wife, Taryn, and I said, I want to have a hard talk with you. I want to do something. I don't know if it's going to happen. Here comes Leah, and she's five now and a little Tasmanian devil and wonderful. But when she turned one, I got the idea. And not that his legacy needed anything extra, but being in the profession and having the ability to do it, I started pouring through articles once I got the publisher, Temple University Press. And then we toyed with changing it a little bit, but I wanted his work to stand out. I didn't want it to be me. I wrote a small four-page foreword. The rest is his. I just edited the whole thing in chronological order, starting in 1962. The first article is from the Philadelphia Jewish Times. Dad was 20 and still in college. And I just took it from there, and it takes the reader through, as I call it, just a lifetime of memories.
And how did you go about picking which articles belonged in there? Because it's not all about the Sixers.
Nope.
I mean, there's some Dream Team stuff. I did read the first one from the Jewish Times. Mm-hmm. But how? Because that's a lot of work to sift through and decide what stands out.
Well, thankfully, my grandmother had books upon books upon books, and that helped. I reached out to others. And people don't remember that Dad covered the Philadelphia Adams. He covered soccer in Philadelphia. Every team there was, the Adams, the Fever, the Fury, you name it, he covered it. And at four, I was a ball boy for the Adams in 1973. And one of my earliest memories is rolling that ball out to the players at the Vet, and that team won the championship. Every 5 years, they still have a reunion and a banquet. And those players and the coach, Al Miller, who wrote my intro for that chapter, talked about Phil like Allen Iverson talked about Phil. It was the same Phil, just in a different era, and that preceded the Big Five. He, as well known as he is and always will be for the Sixers, there was a lot of Phil before that, and I just wanted people to know that and have a good sense of what he did and accomplished.
Now you bring up the person who introduces each section of this book, and you handpick
those
as well. Right. All right. So I know Allen Iverson is one of them. How did you, because you knew stories that your father would talk about, that you knew the right person for each of those sections?
Yeah. I mean, I use just history and just really my educated instincts on picking it. Iverson was a no-brainer. I mean, for every press conference, his Hall of Fame induction, I mean, he would shout Phil's name out. I mean, I can't imagine that happens too often from star athlete to journalist. So when I sat with Allen in a suite before a game last year, and he would tell me, he'd be like, Andy, when we had our issues, 99.9% of the problems were mine. 0.0001 were Phil's. Like, I was a kid. I didn't know better. It took me a long time to understand that he wasn't out to, to hurt me. He was just doing his job. But I was just a dumb kid. I didn't know. And he goes, I wish he could just be here sitting next to me today, and I'm so thankful you're doing this. So, like, when I handpicked these, like Billy Cunningham, for instance, on that 83 team, I mean, yes, that was reporter coach, but they built a friendship where Billy's wife and my mom, too, became the best of friends away from the court. And, you know, Billy would get annoyed in the beginning. He'd get those 4 a.m. phone calls. And that was the theme I got from everybody. Charles Barkley said the same thing until they realized Phil wouldn't call unless it was really, really important. He just wouldn't do it. And the theme was just remarkable from Merrill Reese all the way through to Allen Iverson at the end of just, you know, you want to hear nice things about someone you love, but it's still very nice to hear it all the way through.
Just because you bring up Merrill Reese, I loved his story about how he thought he was going to be an NFL player.
Yep, he did.
Playing in the schoolyard with your dad, and your dad was tall, so he was a wide receiver. I had not known that their friendship went that far
Beaver
back.
Beaver Junior High, like way, I mean, you go back, and even pre-junior high, they just played, they were two boys playing football on the front lawn. And they were just friends long before they became Hall of Famers and, you know, in their respective careers. And in 1972, when Stan Hockman called my dad and he goes, you know, I want to hire you so to cover high schools. So then Phil calls Merrill and he's like, I'm not sure, you know, I'm covering the Phillies, Sixers, and Trenton. Is this a good move? And Merrill, you know, basically said, I'm going to strangle you if you don't take that job and get your foot in the door. And we all know how that turned out. So, I mean, they just remained friends forever. And they, Merrill read all of his stories. You know, Phil would, I mean, when we were home, the TV would never be on. He would always have the radio on. It was just a true friendship that lasted forever.
You bring up Stan Hockman, who I loved his work as much as I loved your dad's work. But I do feel like in my time of covering the Sixers with your dad, that there was a family about the Daily News writers, not just with basketball, but, you know, the whole group, the columnists. And even when your dad passed and when Stan passed, you could see that. Did your dad stay that long just because there was something special? And I hate to see that paper. Yeah. You know, newspapers today are not what they once were.
That was some of it. I mean, often editors will call writers and say, I need this, I need this, I need this. And I've sat next to those writers courtside, as have you. Phil's phone never rang. I think his editor called him once. And he got so annoyed, he hung up on him. He's like, I got it. I'm on the case. Like, no need to worry. And it was like a family. The editors trusted the writers there. The writers trusted the editors. And if they had an issue, they would talk about it. But it really was. I mean, you hate to say this because I don't like it when you see this at a funeral. But like at Phil, my dad's funeral and at Stan's funeral, just the outpouring of people that came out. Like it was like your extended family. And at my dad's funeral, which to this day will be the hardest thing I've ever had to do in planning that. And the fire marshal comes to me and says, you need to send some of these people home. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to tell anybody who showed up to leave. And I don't know how many of those were Daily News folks, but I would venture to guess of the 800, there had to have been, I don't know what, 150, 200 at least.
That,
I mean,
that line was just
it was
kept
crazy.
On going.
And no, I didn't see it. I just got it from, obviously,
I saw it.
Busy with other things, and when that fire marshal came, I said, no way, I'm not doing that.
All right, we'll tell people, we've got to take a time out here, Andy, but the book is Phil Jasner, On the Case. You can get it on Amazon.
Yep, barnesandnoble.com, and soon all area Barnes & Nobles and area Philadelphia bookstores, very soon.
All right, we are talking to Andy Jasner, back in a moment, here on Lifestyles.
Music, music. Now at the Ardmore Music Hall, a grand music venue in the heart of the Main Line. The venue is located at the legendary 23 East Lancaster Avenue in Ardmore, once known for its musical talent. Free parking nearby. For full information and tickets, see webpage at ardmoremusichall.com, ardmoremusichall.com, or call 610-649-8389. That's 610-649-8389. The webpage again, ardmoremusichall.com. It's a grand music venue in Ardmore in the heart of the Main Line.
The major holidays are almost upon us. Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's. Are you prepared for your holiday party events? We produce events for the holidays and other occasions. May we package your business or personal holiday event? Are you considering a Santa Claus, or three-piece band, or special celebrity guest? A Christmas carol, choir, or perhaps catering? Possibly walk-around magicians, fortune tellers? We aid corporate events, smaller business attractions, family affairs. Just tell us your goals. Free consultation, free ideas. Contact Wilms for Rent. Call 484-562-0063. That's 484-562-0063. Again, 484-562-0063.
Temple basketball tickets are on sale now. Don't miss head coach Fran Dunphy and the men's team battle. St. Joe's, Villanova, Wisconsin, UConn, Wichita State, and more at the Leah Cora Center this season. Plus, head coach Tanya Cardoza and the women's team will face off against UConn and defending national champion South Carolina, led by head coach Dawn Staley. Call the Temple ticket sales office at 215-204-TIXX or visit owlstix.com to purchase your Temple men's and women's basketball tickets today.
Welcome back to Lifestyles. I'm Dee Lynam, chatting with Andy Jasner. Andy Jasner just completed a book, Phil Jasner on the Case, a great tribute to his father, who passed away. Actually, he was 68. What year was that, Andy?
December 3rd, 2010, almost 7 years. I still can't believe it.
I can't either. All right, we brought up some big names, Charles Barkley, Billy Cunningham, Allen Iverson. I mean, those are some big personalities that weren't always easy to cover.
No.
And you touched on it, but what do you think resonated about your dad that enabled them to understand that he was always just doing the job?
Well, and this theme came through from everybody I interviewed. Paul Westhead told me in the Big 5 years, he said, your dad started covering me when I was coaching in high school. And this crazy guy with the big, thick, curly locks comes in, you know, with a real intense look on his face. And, you know, I could just see he was outworking everybody. He did his homework. He asked me very poignant questions that no other writer was asking me. So I'm like, if he's going to do that homework, I'm going to help him. I may not like the questions, same when I got into the college years with him. But, and that was a theme throughout. I mean, Charles Barkley told me that. He said, yeah, Phil annoyed me sometimes. But again, like Alan said, because it was my fault. If I was in a scuffle in a bar, an incident that I caused, I realized he didn't do that. I'm the one who set myself up. And then Charles told me this story in 86, as you know, of that little trade the Sixers made. He said, Phil called me, and it must have been like 5 a.m. And anybody else I would have hung up on. And I'm like, you know, I'm bleary-eyed. You know, I don't know how long I've been asleep. And he's like, we're trading who? You know, I'm not believing this. And he goes, but if Phil's calling me, it has to be true. And if it was anybody else, I would have cursed at, hung up, and gone about my day. But it was just that trust thing. Doug Collins said the same thing. Like, Phil could write a hard story, but you knew it would be a fair story. And he wouldn't take a shot just to take a shot. If you were playing bad or you weren't doing what you were supposed to, he would point it out. And like Doug said, nobody likes to have things pointed out that they're not doing well. So that was a theme. And again, to hear that from beginning to end, you know, someone does their job that consistently through 4+ decades is saying something.
Absolutely. I have to ask you, the Allen Iverson practice press conference, because it's the only time I ever heard anybody call your father Philip. Philip a number of times, as a matter of fact. Did he ever talk about the press conference after the fact?
Oh, yeah. I was working in North Carolina at the time, and my phone rang. I'm like, it was an odd time for him to call. I answered it, and he was going crazy. I'm like, slow down. You know, we worked every. He goes, well, what do I do? I'm like, you do the same thing you've always done. Write your story. Don't worry about that. Obviously, you're a little high on emotion right now. But, you know, that press conference, which, you know, tried to get shut down and didn't get shut down, as you well know. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. I said, this will be a PR move for you. You can't see it right now. It will be okay in the end. And as we know, it worked out okay. But he was mad. He didn't like anybody questioning his integrity. And that's the only thing that bothered him. Once I told him to get some distance, I'm like, it'll be okay. And he wrote his story and he went about his business the next day. And it was, you know, it lasted for a while, obviously. And we still see those clips to this day, which is amazing.
I think on every anniversary of that, we'll celebrate it at this point in life. And even when Alan went to China, they had like almost a remake of it.
In Chinese.
In Chinese.
It's crazy.
It's unbelievable. Phil, is in 6 different Hall of Fames.
Correct.
But I have to think, going into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame had to be the pinnacle of anybody who's in this profession to have that honor would be amazing.
And I think the coolest thing for me that weekend was watching all of the athletes come up to Phil and shake his hand and say congratulations. And he would say to me, he's like, why are they congratulating me? I'm like, for the same reason that you would congratulate Doc or Billy C or anybody, because you deserve it. It's your body of work. You were chosen for a reason. But to watch them just one by one come up to him was really, it was really touching. It was a wonderful weekend. He was he was healthy then and everything was good. And he didn't say much about that, believe it or not, after, as wonderful as that weekend was. I don't think deep inside he felt like he belonged, although he would never publicly admit that. I think he felt like, that was a place for, the greats of the game. But, clearly he belongs, and that's a place that, I will take my kids, and mm-hmm. we will take photos, and we'll celebrate that forever.
Now, you mentioned that. The Philadelphia Sports Hall mm-hmm. of Fame came later.
It did.
And it was almost...
That was at the very end, and he almost didn't make it.
I heard he was healthy that night and seemed so honored to be there as well, but obviously he's at a different stage in his life at
right.
that point.
It was about a month before he passed away, and he pushed through, and that speech was chilling. I mean, he spoke from the heart. Other folks went, let's say, a lot longer than him. He spoke. It wasn't too brief. It was just perfect, and he spoke from the heart, and you can't ask for any more. I'm glad that we were able to get through that night and to have him inducted. That was... To have one more really good, that might have been his last really good night till the end. So that's a special night I'll always remember.
I always say to myself, what would Phil, how would he have handled the tanking of the last 4 years? How would he have handled a Sam Hinkie who refused to have conversations?
They would have hated him.
And wouldn't pick up a phone.
Yep, they would have hated him. And he would have driven Sam crazy in a good way. That the team would have been just... going crazy with his articles, because you win 75 games in 4 years and 10 in one season when it didn't seem like they were even going to get to 10. It was just not, it's not how he was trained, back when he was just playing on the playground as a kid to covering teams. You're not trained to cover teams that try to lose. It just wasn't fun, but he wouldn't have changed. I mean, we went through John Lucas and I think that was 18 wins, and Johnny Davis, what was that, 22 wins?
But it wasn't so much the number of wins.
Right.
It was about how and why
right.
the losses were mounting.
Right. And when Ish Smith was, bless Ish's heart, when he's your last player introduced in starting lineups, it just wasn't, and it had no through no fault of Ish's, it just wasn't a good look all the way around to be that bad and have fans buy tickets for games. And he would have written it, he would have said it, he would not have shied away from it. And Sam Hinkie would not have been his biggest fan, but it would have been a theme throughout his Hall of Fame career. He would have written it like he saw it.
Social media would definitely have been around before he passed away, but not to the extent that
right.
writers,
not Twitter, right,
right, are required to do the job by, during a game, tweeting 140 characters.
I'm not sure he would have.
I know. I would really. And bloggers didn't have the power
right.
they have now when he was on the beat.
He did do blogs, but he would make it more of a newsy story. When he had something that he thought was like a little breaking news nugget in the afternoon, he would blog it. It was Sixerville, and he was proud of that, because to him that was still the journalistic aspect and what he was trained to do. But the tweeting and all the jokes that go back and forth, I mean, again, yeah, that would have been a rough go. I just can't imagine him doing that.
Obviously, and it's similar for me, if you grow up around something, then you are drawn to it, possibly. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is.
No.
But you clearly were. Do you remember being around him as a kid? You mentioned being a ball boy. But at what point you said, I too could be a really good writer?
Well, I think probably when I hit my... preteens and then into my teen years, like 13, 14, 15. I mean, I did more homework at the Palestra, Hawk Hill, McGonagall Hall, the Spectrum than I did at home. And it was funny because when I got into my later years in high school, I had so many tardies. I had a hard time getting up in the morning. And, it took me a while to figure out why that was, because I didn't get a lot of sleep. But I was so fortunate to live that life. Every security guard knew me. It was just a wonderful, and I knew just being around them. I don't know about you. I never really cared about autographs. My
nope.
friends did.
I don't
I,
have
I never,
one.
I don't have one either. I didn't want them to have Daryl Dawkins put me on his shoulders and let me dunk a ball at practice, to go to a St. Joe practice, you know, and just be around the guys. Temple, all the Big Five teams were so gracious to let me in, and, you know, and I sat in the back quietly and just watched. And I mean, and then as I got older, watching a Larry Brown practice, which even as an adult was like, that was a learning experience. I mean, I left there saying, who needs an autograph? This is tremendous. I mean, quoting Larry as it is, it was just a cool way. And then when I got to high school, I wrote for the paper and I knew I just didn't want to do anything else. And, you know, if I'd known the business was going to go this way, sort of, you know, you never know. But I have zero regrets. Zero.
Andy, sit tight. We'll take one more time out. You are listening to Lifestyles.
Into rock and roll? Then visit Philadelphia's Hard Rock Cafe. Enjoy the huge menu and especially view the memorabilia. There's the legendary Jim Morrison jacket, acquired from Danny Sugarman, manager of the Doors. See the guitar that John Mayer created. He played with Eric Clapton. From Elton John, his Uncle Sam costume, also Shakira's leather pants. The list goes on. Memorabilia from Jimi Hendrix and Joan Jett. Lunch or dinner, Hard Rock Cafe, 12th and Market Streets, Philadelphia. It's an experience. Also hosting corporate events, social gatherings, bar mitzvahs. Hard Rock Cafe is cool. 12th and Market, 215-238-0639. 215-238-0639. 12th and Market Streets, Philadelphia.
My name is Joe Ball. I am 88 years old. 88 years old. I don't look that old, except in the mirror. I've been in business over 61 years, aiding small and medium-sized firms with their advertising and related needs. I'm still at it. Benefit. You can benefit from my lifetime experiences. Call me personally at 484-562-0060. That's 484-562-0060. Or see www.phillybizmedia.com. That's www.phillybizmedia.com. Make your contact soon, for obvious reasons. I'm 88 years old. 484-562-0060.
Want to lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 6 weeks while eating real food? Don't want to deal with messy shakes, bars that taste like cardboard, or disgusting prepackaged food? ChiroThin could be just what you're looking for. Here's what ChiroThin is not: a fad diet, exercise program, drugs, or surgery. ChiroThin is doctor supervised and is one of the fastest ways to lose 20 or more pounds. To find out if you're a candidate for ChiroThin, call 610-237-6645. That number is 610-237-6645. And schedule your no charge, no obligation consultation.
Need a speaker for your business meeting, organization, or group meetings? Need a speaker who is entertaining, inspiring, and informative? Need a speaker who is an authority on a subject close to your interest? We provide them. We are the Philadelphia Speakers Bureau. For speakers who serve your interests, call 484-562-0063. That's 484-562-0063. Again, 484-562-0063. ADCOMTIMES at AOL.com. Or write to us at adcomtimes at AOL.com. ADCOMTIMES at AOL.com. Adcomtimes.
Andy Jasner is our guest here on Lifestyles this afternoon. And Andy, well, we're here to sell some books. So
sure.
Phil Jasner on the case. How does somebody get a copy of this gem?
The easiest way is check out Amazon.com and just punch in the name. It comes right up. BarnesandNoble.com. It will be in area Barnes & Noble soon. I have some book signings coming up in December. And area Philadelphia bookstores, too, all throughout the city. They should all have it within the next couple weeks in time for the holidays.
Oh, cool. On the case, How did you come up with the title?
That was Dad's catchphrase. I mean, any editor asked, I'm on the case, guys. I got it. Like, I'm on it. No worries. He just said that so many times, I could hear it in my sleep to this day.
I just wanted to say one time I remember, and it was an NBA All-Star game, that you had just gotten a job not that far back.
It was probably Magic Johnson's year then, right, in Orlando?
I don't know, but I remember you covered it. Your dad covered it. I was there, and I remember thinking, what a cool thing to be able to be working a same event as your father. And later, I got to work with my dad on
That's awesome.
On a show. But was that a cool moment
for
you?
It really was. And to this day, we're the only father-son combo to have covered both an NBA All-Star game and the NBA Finals together. And you know, Brian McIntyre was so gracious, you know, sitting us next to each other. I was a young kid. I didn't deserve to be in the middle, but he put me there and no questions asked, and I'll cherish that forever.
Yeah, another great community. The NBA
family is
one that is far-reaching and good people.
To this day, and I hope it never changes, even through the digital era of sports and sports writing and broadcasting and where we're at right now.
Do you have another book in you, or would you have to be so inspired by something in life that, like your father inspired you to want to do this?
I hope so. I'm going to breathe for a little while. I coach my kids' soccer teams and, you know, active at our synagogue. So I'm going to breathe for a little while. I'm going to enjoy this, and I'm sure the urge will come eventually. But, you know, it has been said to me that it's like having a baby. I can't speak to that. I don't even know if I want to go there. But it took, you know, it was a lot. It was a lot of effort. Totally worth it. But we'll see. Possibly, maybe in the next couple of years, we'll talk again.
I understand the analogy because it's, you remember the joy. You don't remember all the painstaking things that
what
came
pain?
Before.
There was no
there
pain.
Was no pain. Andy, thank you
my
so
pleasure.
Much for coming in again.
Anytime.
Yeah, Phil Jasner on the case. The great writings of Phil Jasner, who worked at the Daily News, Philadelphia Daily News, for 38 years. You've been listening to Lifestyles this afternoon, and today's show has been sponsored by American Advertising Services, Philadelphia's longest established advertising and publicity firm. For free information and ideas, give Joe Ball a call at 484-562-0063. That phone number again, 484-562-0063. I'm Dee Lynam. We'll hope to hear from you next time here on Lifestyles.